Good morning.
GM, GM.
Hi.
Welcome. So we can always start a bit easy. Just I was thinking, it's been a week since the gallery launched, and why don't we just start with recapping how's the last week been? So Casper first. What do you think? You happy with the launch?
Yeah, I mean it's actually beyond what I totally expected from just starting from just like a humble gallery with a few artists, culminating in something where even the official Meta Angels team, I mean the CEO, actually joined in to listen in for 2 hours. I thought that was pretty cool. And and having obviously the results were that some art pieces got sold, which, I mean, it wasn't not all the art got sold, but as long as we had some, for some that were sold, I thought it was pretty encouraging for a first time event. I'm not a real life art gallery owner, so I have zero experience selling art in real life. I just thought it was pretty cool that not just how we came about with this project, but it ended with a little bit of a result as well. Yeah, so that's how I pretty much saw it, together with the help of everyone, of course.
And we were also mentioned in the Meta Angels Discord town hall meeting, which was awesome, I would say. And I would say that was a direct, this was in direct relation to the fact that we had this space. So Alex was mentioning us, I would say, in front of 5,000 people or so. So the gallery was definitely on a spotlight.
Yeah, that was great. And speaking of having many, many people, obviously, that was the good side of it, right? But if you're asking about learning points as well, it was very interesting for me to learn about the pull-up issuing process. I mean, I only have like 2 pull-ups, including the one that we gave out. And I never knew it was such a prized asset that people actually go into random spaces just asking for pull-ups and actually farming them. So that was a learning experience for me and Johannes, I guess.
It was exhausting to clean up the mess. You could tell us a little bit what you had all to do, because the first 100 pull-ups were just sold in a few seconds after the word was revealed. But then there were also people which really had an interest into the art and walked around the gallery. And then, of course, they were a little bit disappointed that all the pull-ups were already gone. So what did you do after that?
Yeah, so, I mean, for the people that just joined us, we actually gave out, like, pull-ups for the last event. And it was done by a secret word. Basically, as long as you enter the word in the pull-up app, you will get the NFT in your app, right? So there are groups of people who would join Telegram groups where they freely share that word. And the moment that word was out, it was gone in, like, I guess, a few seconds or even minutes. So how I had to do some recovery was ask the pull-up guys to issue us more of these NFTs. And then the more secure way of doing this is that they give you individual links, individual web links for you to click on it to claim the pull-up. So I had to actually DM pretty much every single one of the people who were interested in getting one and who had some semblance of proof that they actually attended the event. That's pretty much what I had to do.
Yeah, and thank you for all that hard work. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful pull-up. So really good that...
Yeah, I mean, our reputation's on the line, right? I mean, we promised pull-up, so we had to deliver.
Yeah, and just to be 100% clear, we're not doing any pull-ups today. And so in case anyone wondered. But yeah,
please don't leave us now.
That's okay. Like, stay for a lovely chat about art.
But we analyzed this. I think you found one pull-up farmer, Casper, that had what, 10,000s of pull-ups. It's how was this person even able to collect so many pull-ups? Unbelievable. So this yeah, must, I guess, must be a full-time job.
I guess they must really have a huge Telegram group. And I mean, some of the guys that asked for pull-ups, I actually went down to their Twitter profiles to see if they were real art aficionados or just people who were farmers, right? And these guys have multiple accounts because you can see they only have 6 followers or 10 followers, and those exact 10 followers were named very similarly to that existing account. So these guys are probably in multiple chat groups, having multiple accounts and just farming it. I really think it's a very interesting concept that we should definitely not give up on, not just to attract people, but also to reward like people for listening to the space, right? I genuinely think I don't mind doing this individual DM kind of issuing of the pull-ups if the people that are receiving are genuine.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I mean, it's an amazing idea to hand out this proof of attendance. So let's just wait and see. Maybe, probably the tech will evolve a bit and become easier. Like, so yeah. And in terms of recapping this last week, it's from my part also, it's been amazing to see all this activity that our gallery launch has triggered. And I don't know about you, but this is the first time I'm see more in the Twitter notification list. Like, it's kind of amazing how much activity, and especially on Twitter, which is, I think it's the main social media I use for anything related to art and NFTs and crypto. I don't know about you guys, if you use any other channels, but yeah, so happy to see this reception.
So the gallery was really visited because I remember that Casper added one new collection to the gallery, this lights collection from Moosh, and it wasn't really done, and somebody already tweeted about it. So we are not sure how many people are right now in the gallery, but definitely there were people exactly in that moment and tweeting about it. We changed the picture, or Casper changed the picture, and somebody was realizing it right in time, which is cool, which is really cool.
Yeah, I guess that's the one main benefit of having a gallery that's a virtual gallery, right? It's open 24/7. No, in real life, gallery can beat that. And for now, I don't have to pay anyone to man the gallery.
I have heard that On Cyber is also planning to add avatars to the gallery so that you can walk around and see other people. I think I've seen it in some stuff they want to add, so that you can really go to the people which are already there and chat with them. I think this is a feature that would make it possible to see how many people are right now in the gallery. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, I think that'll be an interesting feature.
Yeah, absolutely. Because especially in a big gallery like this, I mean, it is huge. We should talk about that as well. Yeah, it would be great to see other people in there at the same time in some way. And then it starts to feel a bit like a metaverse, like Decentraland, for example. So yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, I really like the gallery feature on Decentraland, where you can, as Johanna said, were mentioned for the possible feature of on Cyber, that you have these 3D avatars, and I'm actually not sure about the voice function on Decentraland, but we had some gallery events on Decentraland last year, and so we were basically talking on Twitter Space, and at the same time we're with our avatars on Decentraland, and it was really nice because like we're just saying, let's walk now to the first floor and see the artwork with XYZ. And it was, it basically enhances just the experience of enjoying the artwork.
I just asked, so it was like a guided tour in a real gallery. Somebody was introducing the art and everybody was listening to that person, and then they walked to the next floor, right?
Exactly.
Like in real world.
Yes, and everyone could just ask questions and discuss the artwork. Yeah.
Yes. So my question was, since the event was held on Twitter Spaces, but the show was on Decentraland.
Mm-hmm.
We can pretty much do that for our gallery as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably just need to acquire a spot on Decentraland.
No. I mean, what I'm saying is that because the speaking forum was on Twitter Spaces, but the viewing forum was on Decentraland. Is that what you're saying? Like two separate?
Yes. Oh, you mean we could do the same thing for our gallery?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, I think. Do you remember? I think this was what I initially suggested, and but since you're not like with an avatar on cyber, it's just like a different experience. But yeah, in theory, it's possible, of course.
Some people we had to add this floor plan because some people were lost in the gallery because it was too big. And I think if you don't have a guide, then I think everybody thinks they are looking on the same image, but maybe they are standing on a completely different wall. And after a while realizing, oh, we are talking about a different person, you know? So it's good to have one person being the guide and you run behind him. I think this is missing.
Yeah, exactly. And if you see real avatars, it's even easier, right? Because you just see a crowd of people hanging around in front of like some artwork.
I see. So, you, based on your experience, Decentraland is your metaverse gallery of choice. Don't worry, I won't take offense. Despite me owning OnCyber,
Well, I don't have so much experience with virtual galleries in general. So this was just like what I experienced so far. And I really liked that experience. But I think, doesn't like spatial.io also have something similar? I've seen like tweets that you can also add avatars basically to, I think Espresso has or had a spatial exhibition there.
Yeah, the first gallery I made with NFTs was in Spatial, and yeah, they have this kind of 3D experience where you can be multiple people in the same space, same time. I think, if I am not mistaken, Spatial was made as more of a 3D virtual meeting room solution rather than a gallery. They have some interesting features like that, but I haven't been following the development of Spatial. It was quite cumbersome to make a gallery there when I tried, to be honest. I had to download all the images and make custom labels and whatnot, but to put them up on the walls. But I hear it's getting easier. So yeah, Spatial is also one to watch.
So this brings us to a philosophical question. What makes a gallery successful? I think Cyber had this great idea to limit the possible supply. So usually if I'm on Decentraland and I'm building some gallery, first I make the walls and I make textures on it, then I can do programming, I can run scripts, I can do basically everything. I can display any NFT on the world, of the world. Nobody's stopping me from whatever, show a wall of X copies, for example, and it will work. And the cool marketing idea on CyberHead was that they don't allow this, that everything you show is somehow exclusive because you have to own it or somebody is delegating it to you. There's only one gallery, for example, now showing this special piece because the artist is not delegating it, or the owner is not delegating it, then it's only possible at one place in the full metaverse to display and show this art. I think that's a very special thing, and this makes it very interesting because now you want to be in that special gallery. In all other virtual worlds I know, there are not so many limitations. Which brings us to the idea, why do people go to a normal gallery? You know, there's only this one picture, this physical artwork is only at this wall. So if you want to go there, if you want to really see it, you must drive to the gallery, maybe even pay a fee to get into. And then you have then it's a special event for you to look at that image. I think that's a clever idea that they brought this limitation from the real world to the virtual world, if you ask me. You can see the Mona Lisa, the real one, is just in the Louvre, nowhere else. So you want to see it there. You even go to Paris just to see the Mona Lisa, you know?
Yeah, that was the example that came to mind. So yes, and it's a really good point. And I think OnCyber is doing the right thing here, because digital art has forever had this challenge of it's so easy to duplicate. You can like right click, save as, right? And then put it everywhere. So introducing this kind of technical safeguards, I think it's a really good move. And yeah, it also means that people can kind of relate to the gallery where they saw something. Like, I'm sure many have seen, for example, the Vincent van Gogh gallery on Cyber. It's one of the most popular ones, with all of the fidanzas and all of the amazing art blocks. And people know it's there. They have to go to OnCyber to find it, right? So yeah, I think that's a good thing.
I think it's so you make some kind of it's genuine so you trust Cyber that you have an exclusive moment because they guarantee that nobody can cheat. So I'm impressed by this idea. They have these. You really have to prove that you are allowed to display this artwork on a wall, and nobody else can do that. For example, Espresso is now the only person who can show one of my NFTs because he's the only one who bought it, and now he's in a very special position if they want to see our art.
Yeah, of course.
I wonder why you still can show art that you have created yourself but has been sold still in your own gallery, because technically you don't own it anymore.
Yeah, but there are special rules for the creators of that, right? The artist. I think I saw this in the documentation even. It's like there's an exception that the artist can show it in their gallery, if they sell it.
But only in their own, right?
In their own gallery, yes.
Yeah, then they can't delegate it. They can only show it in their own. Like, this is my past work, but only the current owner can delegate it.
Not sure about this. We should try. It wouldn't surprise me if you still can delegate it as a creator.
But to be honest, Soon, I know a lot of artists which are, because they created once an artwork, many of them are creating more than one physical piece. So it's still a real Picasso if he's doing the same painting again. So the artist can create it again anyway, you know?
So yeah,
which happens very often. This happens very often with a lot of artists in the real world. If they sell one picture and it's really successful, they will recreate it again, but don't put it on a list of art they had made. Galerieverzeichnis is the German word.
Oh, really?
They make the piece several times and sell it to more than one person. And all of these persons think they have the one single piece.
Okay.
I've never heard about this.
Yeah, this happens, of course.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it works. One picture is really famous. Uh-huh. And then you sell it once and then you paint it again. It's still an artwork. It still took a lot of time, but there are multiple versions of the same image existing in the real world too. Right click, save as.
With the same name, even the same title, or
yeah,
okay, I'm confused.
There are even real world artists. A lot of them are creating a lot of versions, but are not painting it on their own. So they have students which are making the groundwork, then they are just doing the details and signing it. Happens very often for the famous artists.
Yeah, so having assistants, that's one thing, right? That's accepted, it seems, in the art world. It's not necessarily frowned upon. But yeah, I would be slightly annoyed if I paid bought a physical artwork and then a year later I see someone else with the same artwork.
I'm so sorry. Now you know it.
Thank you. This is good.
Yeah, so on the website of our page, if you go to our website, we have this even as a service. So if you, that's why we have all the pictures online, which were ever made. And then you can request the same image again, but for example, in a different size. So then my father will repaint it, but for example, a little bit bigger or a little bit smaller. And of course, it will get a different number. But it's a very common thing to make art on order. So that's completely normal, because you see one image, you love it, and it's gone. No artist on the world would say no, I will not do it again.
Okay, so there's less FOMO in the setup, I feel.
No, the second time it's more expensive.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just meant. In the NFT world, at least, if you see something you like, you better buy it immediately, because like so many times I've come across something I like, and for some reason I don't have the ETH right there. I need to shuffle some stuff around or sell something, and then checking it again. Like this happened with Silvo's work just a week ago.
Blockchain is making FOMO really hard. You are right. So this FOMO thing is this. But if you have a Sotheby's auction or something, they also FOMO in, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Back to topic, not traditional art, we should talk about NFTs, right?
Yeah, but I think one thing you mentioned I would love for you to elaborate a bit on is we talked about physical and virtual galleries in the Discord one of the days. And you mentioned how a physical gallery, it's a great thing for an artist in terms of having reach and accessibility for people in that area. Would you mind to kind of elaborate a bit on the importance of physical galleries?
Well, it's unbelievably important. So if you're an artist just working at home and you're making great art, but you can't invite somebody showing your art. So every artist wants to have a big room where he's creating his art and can also showcase it. And if you are in a really good position, then you have also a real big gallery where you can show your images that you have made in, over the time. And in the traditional world, it sometimes takes years that one picture is sold. So my father has some images that are in the gallery for 10 years, and you think, oh no, nobody will buy it. And then finally, somebody comes and says, I want to have this piece, please. And then you realize you need a lot of physical space to have all these pieces available. And you also need a lot of walls to showcase them. One trick is to not put them on walls instead of hanging them from the roof down. So you do some tricks to have more space. But in the end, you need a big room. A lot of young artists don't have room to showcase it, and then they have to bring it to a gallery. But at the traditional gallery, the charges are super high. It's normal that the gallery owner takes half of the income, and the artist is just getting a small amount of money in the end. But they need space to showcase their art. And if you have a big room and even a nice room, then it's a very important factor to be successful. Now we're coming to the point that we have a gallery. So my father has a 2 floors big gallery. I think the house has 2,000 2,000 of them, 2 floors, wow. Which is huge.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, that's huge. And everything is full. And now you have the situation that people actively driving to a gallery. So, for example, our gallery is not in a big city, it's in the countryside. So if you want to see the art and you are driving a long way, so it took you a big amount of resources to get into that place. Yes, of course. If you then invested that big amount of resources to get to that place, then you want to buy something, because otherwise the big journey was a failure for you. So this is also important to make it a little bit harder to get into. In the past, we had, for example, tourists coming to our gallery, and tourists are never buying. They're just looking around, have a nice day, go to the toilet and maybe drink a coffee, and then they go. So, for example, one factor of success was to charge a little fee so that just people coming, which are really investing resources to reach that place. So you don't want to, of course, sometimes tourists also want to buy, but usually tourists just want to walk around and drink a coffee or something, but will never buy. So there are all usually two kind of visitors, really investors or art lovers and tourists. And so you of course, you want to have the art lovers and investors and want to make the barrier a little bit higher so that only these people get into your gallery. Having a gallery is very important, and to charge a fee.
But it's a chicken and egg, Johan, it's a chicken and egg question, right? Because if you want to make your gallery a bit more difficult to get to, your art needs to be good enough before people want to go to your gallery, especially just to see the art. So how do you balance that?
We were grinding in the past. We were so much grinding in the reality. So we had vernissages.
Okay, I know what grinding is gallery, for a white list, but I don't know what grinding in real life means.
So you have to do a lot of events. You have to invite the press. You have to make parties with sparkling wine. You invite the governor of the, you invite famous persons. A band is playing, and first it's hard because nobody knows you, like an NFT world. And the beginning is hard. Took my father his full life to get to the situation that the people are actively coming to him. In the past, we had a lot of events. Yeah, events was like a space, like a Twitter space now. But in real life, these sparkling wine events, you know, trying to invite people. And also, for example, if you come to my gallery opening, you might get a little artwork for free. So very similar to the blockchain world, but in real life.
Grinding, yeah, so that's why for visitors. We can't deliver wine online. I mean, not now at least, but I guess pull-ups will be our version of sparkling wine, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, so, but back to the Wolfram is here also joining us. Let's make him the speaker. I think he has similar experiences, right? So because Wolfram is also for ages in the business, right?
Can you hear me?
Yes, hello. We can hear you.
Yep.
Hello. I have similar experiences en masse. I have 200 exhibitions and in different countries, and it's immense to rule stuff and people and all these. It's massively immense. It's very easy on NFT.
Really?
Very easy, you say. Now we're very curious. Please.
No, Wolfram. You have already a lot of a bigger audience. You have already a lot of followers. So you are also building on top of your current position. Yeah, you are working your full life on it. I think if you start as an NFT artist,
yes,
but you are now in a very special position already.
Yes, but it's not in the beginning. This special position, but it takes 1 year to build this audience, and 1 year you can do it. Everyone can do it.
That is so great to hear. I think that's exactly what a lot of people need to hear.
We are still early.
We are still early. Yes, because it's so daunting, right? You see all of this activity on Twitter, and you try to figure out, okay, how can I get my work out there? How can I get attention? it's all about the attention, right? So yes, thank you, Wolf. We need to hear this.
I think the amazing thing about the NFT space is that everyone basically starts at a level playing field. So everyone has the same chance. And on Twitter, you just have exposure in the end. You have visibility, which you may not have in the real world. I, for instance, know a local artist, my area in Portland. He uses dried botanical pieces like flowers and all those sort of things to make art, and they just look incredible. So he made paintings with these dried botanical pieces like cats and buildings and landscapes, and it just takes him really sometimes years to collect all these pieces. But his problem is that he cannot sell these pieces really because of lack of audience. And he is also kind of behind all the new technologies. So he doesn't even own a smartphone, despite being his art really amazing. So, so I think the NFT space really made it easier for so many artists just to get their work seen.
Have you tried to onboard him to crypto?
Not really. I don't know him so well. I just met him couple times because we have these local events called Open Studios where you can just go to their studio, sometimes just their homes, and look at their artwork. It's just kind of a marketing event because if people see it and they like it, they would just buy it. And that's how I met this guy. I went to
And by the way, Sarah also requested to be a speaker, so feel free to jump in.
Wonderful. Good morning, you all. I am so thrilled to hear your voices. Mine's a little groggy because of the time zone change. But I think a lot of people are still asleep because they're like, we just got an hour stolen from us. But I love this talk. And I love you guys in general. I just love being the energy of people who love art. And it's funny because I'm listening to you speak and I think about the early days of Second Life. And back then I was a new artist. I'm a mixed media artist and a licensed artist by trade. In the maker community, that was really profound. You're walking around in Second Life and people are hanging art on the wall because they feel happy with art and things that surround them, that inspire them. And it became a place where, wow, we can hang things here. And back then, we didn't have the NFT technology. We didn't have anything. So somebody would come in and steal the art off your wall. And it always, it changed the dynamic. And so I've been thinking here, listening to the conversation, and I wanted to encourage you, you know, in the maker community, in the artist community, they're wickedly creative and they always adapt and evolve to the mediums that are presented in front of them. If an artist did not have a paint box, they would go outside and make with flowers. They feel compelled to use the materials and the tools that they have on hand to tell a story. And that story is in them. And I love being around fellow creatives because it's not about what you have on hand. It's how you use what is on hand. I don't need all of the bells and whistles. All I need is to use what I have creatively. And, you know, when I started out as an artist, I kept thinking to myself, I just want to sell one piece so I can buy art materials for inner city kids. I didn't care. I would have given it away just because I had a different kind of mindset. And it's like, if I'm crazy enough to make this, someone out there is crazy enough to buy it. And what technology, Twitter, Facebook, social media has given us, that Web 2 foundation, is the ability to broadcast our message to so many more people. And right now we're at this amazing crossroads where you have virtual reality, you have augmented reality, you have the ability to digitally notarize your work, which is really profound for artists. I think a lot of people are really scared about NFTs in general? Are they exploitative? Are they bad on the environment? Well, people understand that those are legitimate concerns, and they're quickly evolving to fix it. You know, this is all new to all of us. And so it's funny because, you know, listening about, for instance, the PoOps or, you know, back then, when I was on a board of directors, I would go to these big hoity-toity kind of meetings. We're all dressed up and we're all fancy. And he has a Rembrandt in his bathroom. And this is out of public domain. No one has ever seen this piece of artwork, but maybe once or twice. Now we have the ability to open the doors and allow people to see the incredible works that people are making and building. And, you know, these networks that we're creating in Web3 are profound. I don't think we've even scratched the surface. I mean, the MetaWings gallery, that area has just, oh my gosh, I had been saving up for a MetaWing or for a Meta Angel. Because I'm new to the space. I didn't have ETH. I didn't have any of that thing. And I've been saving up, you know, taking it out of the budgets here and there. And some just beautiful soul gifted me one. And my whole world changed. That happens. It used to happen when we had art shows. You know, like you said, if I had a gallery event, I'd give away a piece or whatever. It's that same kind of vibe. And the creatives are bringing that wonderful sharing into the community and connecting people on a really profound level. I mean, the community aspect hasn't even been scratched yet. You know, we're not going to have Kickstarters anymore in a traditional sense. You don't have to go to a book publisher to get your book published. The community will look at it, see your work and say, I believe in you. And they help facilitate it coming out into the world. And I haven't even been able to conceptualize that yet. And so I just wanted you guys to be encouraged. I've been in the community of artists for a long time, and I sit right on the the crossroads of technology and art. And never in the timeline of history have creatives had this opportunity. And I'm so blessed that you guys are here creating a space that cultivates that creativity and gives people that voice to express themselves creatively. This space has made a lot of people very wealthy and very free from a lot of the traditional constructs. And what's happened is they've realized, oh my gosh, I've always gone to a job for, you know, 8 in the morning to 8 at night, 12 hours a day. I've never had the time to sit down and remember what it was like to hold a crayon or to create art or to make music. And they're freeing up their time to do these things. And you guys are paving the way for them to have a place on the wall, in the gallery, the ability to tell their story and attach themselves to the timeline of history in the hearts of people. And I just wanted to tell you that this morning, because I know sometimes technology can be frustrating. It can humble us. People can take advantage of the system, but people are wonderfully and perfectly flawed. they're gonna break your heart. They're gonna make you cry. They're gonna let you down. They're gonna make you really, really angry, but they are also gonna teach you how to love and how to have compassion and how to have empathy and how to see the world differently. And so you're giving this space for them, and it's powerful. So don't let the little things, the little bumps in the road, discourage you from creating a world that is more vibrant and beautiful. And so, you know, I just wanted to chime in and tell you guys are doing a wonderful job. It's hard to have a Twitter space in time zone differences and language barriers. And when it's recorded like this, it's perfect. It's the perfect analogy. We're all here 24/7, dropping in, dropping out, whenever. But ultimately, we're still making powerful connections. And I'm just thankful for you in my world and for you loaning your expertise and wisdom to help elevate everybody, because it's a fantastic thing. So I love you guys. You guys continue to talk, and I'll end the mic here. So there you are.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for the
yeah. Thanks so much, Sarah, for the very kind words.
Speech. I almost got teary eyes hearing you, and you really summarize this in a beautiful way. How I also experience this wonderful community that is kind of also hard for external people actually to comprehend, because most people just think that NFT is just like spammy area, and but unless you experience for yourself, it's really hard to describe to people what this community is about. And I think you summarize all these experiences, all these positive experiences in just the perfect way that I also experienced. So thank you for that.
You're wonderful. Yeah. You're wonderful. Just keep creating, because you're changing people's lives. Your artwork matters. Your voice matters. So just take control of the materials and the tools that are on hand, because it's profoundly changing lives of strangers. It's changed my life, and all of you have changed my life in very meaningful ways. And I have such gratitude for you. So just be encouraged.
I'm speechless for the first time.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sarah. That was beautiful. And it's so amazing to hear that we can really use this technology to help people and get this amazing art attention and help people reach new audiences. And that was amazing. And also love this reference you made to Second Life, this kind of virtual reality game world, where I think there are so many things that start out as kind of more of a gaming focused technology, to dub it that, and then takes on new forms of life, like these 3D virtual galleries, for example. So amazing to see technology being used for these use cases and really making art accessible, because I think that's what is at the core of this, making it accessible, reaching people, and not requiring them to hop on a bus to go to a traditional gallery, even though I would love to visit your gallery, Johannes, one day. That would be amazing. But in the meantime, we have these virtual galleries, which are so, so amazing.
So I haven't been on Second Life before. Can I just get a quick overview on how different it was back then versus what we have now? And are there any learning points we can learn on
how to succeed? So, you know, Second Life, when it first started, was a lot like Minecraft. That's the best way to put it. When you have virtual worlds that are co-created, because that's what it was, it's evolved fast. You know, I have not been in Second Life since its very inception, although I still have, you know, an account there and everything. But, I mean, we had people that would have meetings there. You know, it was just kind of a giant experiment. It's interesting that the founders created even their own virtual currency. You know, you had Linden dollars, and people would have a subscription. They'd pay a yearly fee. But what ended up happening...
So Mark Zuckerberg stole Second Life's idea.
yeah, basically. Well, it's. I think you just kind of build on top of it. When you have these creative environments with co-collaboration, it's really incredible to see how things are used. It's usually used not the way that you thought they were going to be used to begin with. In building those spaces out, I didn't have the digital technology. I didn't have that skill set. I still don't. I am a traditional artist. I can, you know, work my way around Procreate and Photoshop and things like that. But it's as a side note to my normal work. The learning curve for these spaces is very difficult for some people. I know that I'm working in a community that has 3D avatars, right? No one's ever done that. And they actually move. They move. They're fully rigged. I can take my digital avatar that I've bought as an NFT and walk into your gallery. It is profound to think about. I need to learn that technology, not because, you know, I feel compelled to create as a digital artist in that way. It's because I'm an artist and I want to talk in the medium of the people that I care about. And so learning new skills and re-equipping yourselves with those kinds of things. I mean, I might never make an NFT. I've never sold an NFT. I don't even know how to build it yet. I've been in the community since November. I find them fascinating and I love it. Meta Angels, for instance, it's mixed media collage. It's speaking my language. But I don't know if I'm able to be that person because I haven't made that jump yet, but I have to be here. I have to understand it. Just like when Second Life came about, I have to understand the underlying technology in order to be relevant to the community itself, the people that I want to influence and the people I want to share these crazy ideas in my head with. You have to be fluid in their technology. It's like the old saying, you want to walk in somebody else's shoes. Well, if I want to be relevant to young makers, I have to understand digital art. I have to understand where digital art can be seen. And I have to surround myself with people who are building in ways that can be foreign to me and try to, it's very humbling. You know, I'm 47 years old, so I'm learning new skill sets side by side with 12-year-olds. I have 12-year-olds that I mentor that are building NFTs. And I find this absolutely fascinating. And it's really hard because a lot of traditional artists are very anti-NFT because of some of the things that they've seen. They don't understand that they have to look at the underlying blockchain. That technology is powerful. You know, Second Life had a lot of seedy kind of, you know, very X-rated pieces very quickly because, you know, people could meet and that's what happens. But it is one of those things that, yes, there's those components. We can't shield everybody from them. However, we as a community can foster and cultivate the kinds of behaviors and attitudes that we want to see. When I first came here 4 months ago in November, that grinding ethos, you know, that Wolfram had explained to me, he's like, I don't know what grinding means. I know what it means here, but I don't know what it means there. Yeah, I was laughing. I just kind of spit my coffee out. I kind of laughed. I'm like, I want a fist bump and give you 100, you know, a high five. But, you know, Twitter took my little emojis away. So I just smashed down on the heart because I totally understood what he was saying. It's like those kinds of things that that ethos was so prevalent 4 months ago. And all of these projects said, wait a second, it's really affecting our mental health. The fear of missing out on something is really creating something that's not something that we want to foster. And what happens? Everybody evolves. You know, Zen Academy took a day off. And Meta Angels said, you know what? We're going to loan you an angel. They're creating some crazy things that are changing the landscape and making it such a beautiful place for new people to onboard, because that's what we need ultimately in order to stabilize the environment and in order to, you know, create less friction, let's say, between Ethereum and Bitcoin and OpenSea and all of these things. As friction reduces, more people come in. And what we're doing is experiencing the roadblocks and the pain and the suffering a little bit in order to smooth it out for more people. Because as more people come into the space, those volatility issues, those things, the illiquidity issues that cause such massive ups and downs, they kind of even out a little bit. And it allows us as artists, especially, to decorate the place. I mean, creatives don't have a bear market because they just, you know, hole away and make more art. And if you're investing in people, the bulls and the bears don't necessarily matter because you're investing in the people, and people evolve and grow and you are enriched in different ways. So it's one of those things. I think maybe it just comes with being a part of, you know, finance and the environments that I've moved in. And having, you know, I'm older, so I have more experience in that way. But it is one of those things that we're learning, and what you guys are trying to build is paving the way for field trips for young kids to come into your gallery. I mean, that's profound. You know, if COVID taught us anything, it's that we are isolated and shut off for 2 years. There's something very special about going and seeing Van Gogh or Monet or even the sculptures or whatnot in a museum. The very first time I saw the Mona Lisa, I was like, wow, I thought this was like 6 feet tall. You know, it was very profound that Da Vinci had carried this masterpiece around because he wanted to save the recipes of the glazes that he used and whatnot. You know, I make my own paint. You know, it's one of those things that you kind of think about. I want to transfer those skills. We need those kids in these in virtual spaces so we can have these dialogues to transfer our skills to the next generation. It's really, really important. So what we're doing is basically saying, yeah, I'm in Second Life. Everything looks like a pixel, but I'm going to learn this technology. Yes, my art doesn't look perfect on the wall because back then it didn't. It was very bad. But we tried.
Sorry to interrupt you, but no, I have this one point, which is very, really important. You ask about the difference between Second Life and what we have now. So I was there at Second Life, and it was technically fundamentally broken that time, because I remember you had this currency, but there were people offering a bank, and you could put in Linden dollars, and there was even a cash machine where Linden dollar came out again. So they gave you a little bit interest, and everybody was thinking this is a real bank. And then one day there was some kind of rug pull, and the person behind that bank was just running away with all the Linden dollars and made it again real money. And then everybody was really mad about him because they felt like they were victims of an attack. The funny thing is, then they were, he went, the people went to Kurt, and they wanted to have their money back. And he said, no, we were playing a game. This was a game. And in a game, I'm allowed to rob you. If I'm playing World of Warcraft, I'm allowed to get your gold and to burn your houses. Very true. Because this is a game, and I think this was the official end of Second Life, because there was no layer of trust. And this is so important to have this layer of trust, because you weren't even able to make an easy transaction. I want to have that building. Okay, give me your land, your money. And then the person said, okay, no, I have your money, but you don't. But I'm not giving you that building. So you had always rely on websites and marketplaces outside of Second Life to make even transactions. And this time I think we are doing it right, because down there we are in crypto world where everything is completely trustless. We can write code, and if I run that program and the other party is running that program, then the transaction occurs, and nobody has to trust the other person, which in fact gives us trust. Yeah, I can see the code, and I know it will work exactly the way it was written there. And this was not possible in Second Life. Second Life was completely broken on that part.
Well, it was really fascinating, though, is that it did pave the way, because right now in Web3, our currency is our reputation. If you have a rug pull now and you're leading a team, people know, because the, you know, you can't hide from the blockchain. Just like what you had said, transparency really invokes trust. So, yeah, you're doing great. You're absolutely right. I mean, it was a really cool case study, and it had to happen so that we could build this now.
Yeah, that's why I'm also so frustrated if people say, I don't like this blockchain stuff. It's just about money, and your energy is wasted, all this fat about crypto. I've been there when Second Life went down, because there was no layer of trust. And now we have that layer of trust for NFT world, which is the most important thing, to have something where you can't cheat. And that's why I think it's so important to have the blockchain down there, so that we don't do the Second Life mistake again. So this was fundamentally broken, and now we have some layer of trust. This is so much important.
Oh,
if you have been on Second Life, people invested huge amounts of money to get virtual land, which is now completely useless because nobody's trusting anybody.
It's absolutely true. I mean, what you're saying is dead on accurate. I mean, I think a lot of play to earn or just games in general, the way that they did come out and say, well, this is just a game. Well, no, it's not, because when real money is involved and real people really feel that they're building a business model on it, it gets people's mind, they get angry. So it's absolutely true. The blockchain in general, I think a lot of people don't know the history of the blockchain. They just kind of come into the space. The idea of a digital notary in the 70s and 80s was really profound. And it's also really profound too, because it helps us as artists get paid, you know, in powerful ways. The way that the money can move and those contracts can be written, for the first time you have creatives that aren't exploited. I mean, in the background, you know, 20 years ago, I would be making content for big manufacturers that would be licensed on, let's say, material or, you know, fabric, I should say, or paper, and they pay you a flat fee and then, you know, go off to the races, and you're left with not earning the money that you needed to survive and create as an artist. So this is like the very first time that the artist and the creative and the content creators have the keys to the kingdom. And it's really powerful. It's really powerful. I agree with you so much on so many levels. I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, yeah,
you're so right. Not a game anymore. This is not a game anymore.
It's not. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's so true. Finally, we can build solutions that people can actually rely on. And I think the road we're on, even though it's early, is to have digital artists that can actually live of this. And indeed, more and more are actually successful doing that. And yeah, you're right. The blockchain and these innovations enable that. So that's really important. And it also reminds me of this great essay I read by Packy McCormick, Power to the Person, which he wrote a year ago, approximately, where he outlines how this technology really brings the power back to the individual. And exactly as you said, for example, artists no longer need to be exploited in the way that they produce something, they get a flat fee, and the company that paid them can make a million, or they can make a billion, or whatever, based on that artwork, without the artist seeing anything of that. So yeah, it's really groundbreaking.
Or at least it's possible to see who made the art in the beginning, because you some pieces get really valuable or expensive over time, but in the past it was so hard to figure out, is this piece really the original one? Who made it? Sometimes you can't read even the name on it. And now you can go back the blockchain to the original minting process, which is normal for us now. You go to the cyber gallery, you see the image, and you see everything stored on the blockchain, nothing gets lost. This is so important that it's always possible to figure out who minted this, who was the original person creating this. Even if it was transferred 10 times, it's still absolutely easy to figure out who made it.
Yes, this provenance is really important, and it also brings in a lot of the value creation, I think, because especially since it's openly available, you can verify the authenticity and see what's been happening. Unlike traditional art, where you have this kind of looming challenge, at least for the high-priced pieces, where you need someone to authenticate it to be the real thing, right, not a replica. So I think if we use this technology right, it's truly a revolution.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing, guys. I mean, I guess the origin of my question was because I did read an article from a skeptic, once again, who was saying that it's unlikely that the metaverse will succeed because they were just relying on their past experience in Second Life. But I think, like Sarah and Espresso and Johannes shared, there are key differences between that past and what we have now as reality. I guess that, first of all, the community spirit that we are having over here, and secondly, the crypto aspect, right? The payment trustlessness. I think I'm just really encouraged by that. So yeah, thanks so much for sharing, Sarah.
No problem. Thank you for hosting this space. It's beautiful. Beautiful people. You're making my Sunday. Thank you.
Amazing. And I think one topic that we could spend a bit more time on as well is how to become visible in this space, because we know it's can be really tricky to get attention to your work. I see also Caroline is on and up here to speak. So I was curious if you were up for sharing a bit about how it's been trying to get attention to art.
Hey, I think my approach to everything has been so organic that I never really set out to get attention. I've been quite a shy artist for a long time. So as a young person, created a lot of art and won a lot of awards. And if you were here, you know, for those who were listening last week, I then, the bottom fell out of my world and I stopped everything until I was kind of much older. I'm 43 now. I've got 5 children, and I started to create again, you know, put pen to paper after I had my most recent children. So I have a set of twins that are 3, and I started to try and process the experience of my life, I suppose, through art, and it's just grown and grown. So for me, it's a really interesting question, because I came to the NFT world to learn about the space so that I could understand the world of other people that I knew that were in the space, as opposed to intending to come here for myself. But then obviously I've started to grow in confidence. I've shared my work, you know, I've been involved in this beautiful gallery. And for me, the gallery has been really interesting because I haven't really had any sales, but I have had a lot more presence, and that consistency, I think, is really important to be being seen, because you can churn out the best work in the world, and if no one sees it and it's not being kind of viewed in the right circles, and it, you know, it's kind of almost invisible, really. So for me, it's just been about having a presence, keeping producing work so that people identify with your consistency, develop a bit of a brand style in the artwork. So I'm quite an eclectic artist, but in terms of the NFT space, that doesn't really work. Because people want to have like an anchor of style that they identify with you as an artist, so that if they see it, they know it's yours. So kind of going, you know, maintaining a color palette or a particular theme, I think, is really, really important as well. So that's my starter for 10, really, if that's an okay kind of answer.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for sharing. And I think being present in this gallery is a great honor for, and also so amazing that Casper has been approaching many different artists and inviting and put together this collection. So very grateful for all of that hard work, and it really brings another level of appreciation for the art to see it in that kind of virtual gallery environment, I feel, rather than browsing OpenSea or other kinds of more static art displays.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think seeing my own work on the walls was, you know, really beautiful. Though, you know, when I first got those shots and I kind of scrolled through the gallery and I could see my work on the walls, it looks different. And it made me think about the impact of my work, especially because I was working in just 2 different colours to try and convey simplicity of themes. It really made me think about my own work and how it presented on the walls. And so that experience of being in the gallery, as well as being a privilege, as well as hopefully being somewhere where people can go and see the work of you know, all of this collective of artists, and buy the work if they want to, but there's so much more to it than that for me. There's something just about being part of something and your work being visible. So a little bit like the theme of NFTs and playing the long game, it feels like that with art and building an art, an identity as an artist.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, by the way, if there are other artists in the audience that want to chime in, feel free to request.
Yeah, thanks so much, everyone, for joining us. But we initially planned it for 1 hour, and as usual, we've kind of run over because of how organic we've been. Thanks for all the contributions. But I think we'd like to hear a bit from the audience as well. I mean, does anybody have any questions that you'd like to ask? I mean, we have a whole bunch of talented artists here, not just virtual, but real life artists, right? Happy to hear.
I think,
if you have any thoughts.
Yeah, I think we should. I don't like these spaces where just the hosts are speaking. So let's make an open mic session. Everybody who wants to contribute something about what we have talked about or asking a question, but we also want to hear you. So if anybody wants to add something to this conversation, I think it's a perfect time now. Just raise your hands and we will make you a speaker.
Hi, Emily.
Hi, how is everybody? Now, I have a question. Good. How does somebody deal with a Meta Angels addiction? Because I just keep buying more and more.
Addiction.
Same. So curious about this question. So who can help us?
So you should get yourself a budget, right? the floor is down and you shouldn't buy more because the floor is down. I think you should. I think if you wanted to have 5 angels and you have now 5 angels, you shouldn't buy more because, you are right. It's going to be an addiction. I think Espresso got a really rare. Yeah.
But there are some really beautiful ones coming up now with the floor low that I can't not get them, right? That would be a...
And even some rare ones are now available. Espresso got a 200 rank for not so much money, right?
Yeah, that was so amazing. I mean, it was still my biggest Meta Angels purchase to date. But it was one of the beautiful stained glass rings. And with one of the rarer skins. I've been looking at you guys having these stained glass wings, the PFP, and it's so jealous. So finally.
Yeah, but anyway, I think we can also make use of the borrowing feature to kind of make your addiction stay away.
Yeah,
I got a cheeky answer for Emily.
Caroline first.
Sorry, I was just going to say I've got a cheeky answer for Emily. That each time you go to look at the Meta Angels, think about all these independent artists that could really do with your gas fee. So maybe you could kind of make a pledge that if you were going to invest in another Meta Angel, you could have a look at an independent artist's work and invest at the same time. How is that for a cheeky, sly answer?
Yeah, I love that. Love that. And yeah, it's so important to also, even though we love to share the art and look at it in these galleries and on Twitter and whatnot, it's also important to keep in mind to support if you can. Of course, want to be very cognizant of the fact that this is still a lot of money, depending on a lot of factors. So anyone who can contribute should definitely consider to do that instead of just chasing all of the very popular collections. And I think sharing one kind of personal rule I'm trying to follow is that whenever I do an NFT sale where I have some profit, I try to reinvest that into art that I love. So that's been my kind of guiding principle for a while, and it's great. I love seeing the collection grow and also putting it in the gallery, of course. It belongs in the gallery, not locked away in some hardware wallet.
You should pin your gallery to the space now, because you are right. You make profit, and still you are supporting artists, which is awesome. And it's a lovely gallery because there are so many independent young artists in your gallery, and you are still making profit. So that's really great how you do it. Just investing in something when you make profit, which is cool. And maybe at one day you are really early with one of these young artists being a famous artist, right?
Yeah, so that's for sure going to happen. There is so much talent. And I just love being in this space and discovering all of this great art. So yeah, I did pin the tweet since you suggested it. I wouldn't have done it otherwise, it feels a bit. But yeah, there it is. Thanks. So yeah, any other questions from the audience?
Maybe we could also talk about one thing which is really interesting me about curation, right? How are we going to proceed? Because the gallery is going to be bigger and there's so much good art out there. But how can we work with that limited space in the big virtual gallery? What should we do next? This is a big question I have for Kasper. How are you going to create this, or how do you do this curation? Because you did some curation in the Discord. You have written, no, I'm not doing curation, but you do, because you are just writing to artists where you like the art. So this is already a kind of curation.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I think it's something where I struggle with myself as well, because sometimes, obviously, I thank you guys for being very patient. And with my curation, I was half expecting artists to DM me and saying, I don't want my art to be next to this guy's art, or, you know, I don't want to be in that corner. But everybody has been really nice, so thank you very much. I try my best to have a logical sequence of, you know, figures versus abstract versus photography. But there's only that much I can do, because the gallery is really getting packed. Like, thanks to all of you really talented people and your contributions, the gallery is getting really packed. But I have to remind myself why I started this gallery, because I wanted to help independent artists get visibility for their art. And that's why I guess my first priority was always to just pack the gallery with as much art as I could, without it looking slipshod, of course, to get as many eyes as possible. Because I think, like what you guys pointed out at the start, independent artists just struggle so much to get visibility just by themselves. But if you have a critical mass of art that's all together, you hope to have cross-pollination of viewers just coming in to maybe see Johan's art, and then on the same breath, I mean, the same wall, you see Wolfram's art, and then you see Espresso's art. I mean, that's how I see it, right? So if you're talking about curation, I think you probably need to have an even larger critical mass of art that you can actually say, oh, okay, I pick and choose. Like, today is just all abstract in that wing, right? Then unfortunately, you would have to leave out the artists who are not, who don't paint abstract. I mean, that's just a very simplistic way of how I see it. So right now, I still would like to prioritize getting visibility for the artists. But again, happy to hear you guys, right? Because you guys are more experienced in the curation and more in the art space as well.
As an artist, it's not your job to do the curation, right? You are doing your best and you have your style and you bringing it to broadcast it. But I think usually galleries have some theme or topic. You know, they make an exhibition about this topic or that topic, or they just say, now we are going to do this type of art, for example, printed art, and next time acrylic on canvas. Or sometimes they say, let's collect great art, which is blue, you know. But usually, or one way to do it is to have a topic. One way is it to say we are going just showcasing art from Ukraine, for example, now, because this is now a political topic. or sometimes you say we are showcasing art from Africa. So usually, yeah, it's cornered around a topic, and this is one way to do a curation. The art must be good, of course. But then usually they have also a topic. But the first entry is, of course, the gallery owner must be sure that it's awesome. But then there's still a lot of choices, and then they even separate it. So that's also the reason why it's so hard to get into the gallery, because yet now we have the art of the week of blue art, and everything you painted was always red. So yeah, this can be unfair, of course. Sarah, did your hands up?
Oh yeah, I was listening, so I wanted to make sure I didn't interrupt your train of thought. But one of the things I was thinking about, and I meant to ask you before, along this line of thinking, you know how we invite people into our Twitter spaces as speakers and, you know, thought leaders, etc. I would absolutely love if someone like a virtual gallery invited, let's say, Cosimo Medici, you know, Snoop Dogg, and invite him to put all of his art that he has collected on the wall for one day and host a space and go through physically why he purchased the pieces that he did. That way you are getting more people into and more traffic into that wing of the gallery, but also it loans you insight into the thoughts and the mind of the collectors also, and it gives exposure to small artists. I know that I like to look at people's wallets to see why they're collecting what they're collecting, and I do that just because I want to make sure that as a new person I'm not investing in a rug pull or something, but also it gives me the idea of looking at very small independent artists that have no visibility whatsoever or have low followings, or, you know, many artists are introverts and social media freaks them out. So the idea of saying, hey, I have a huge collection of NFTs and I really would like the opportunity to go through and say, hey, you know, this is why I have this Crypto Coven, or this is why I have this Meta Angel. This Meta Angel really spoke to me because the description just was so unique and it fit me. Or this is why, you know, this Bored Ape is something I'm never going to part with. It's not because it's worth 100 ETH. It's because it looks like my Uncle Charlie, or whatever it is that invokes that click and I'm going to buy this. I've never seen a gallery do that. And Web3 is about making connections and about having the individual have that voice. And so I've been marinating on it a lot, is that I wanted to invite people into my own maker spaces, my physical spaces here in the real world. When I invite them, it's so that I can pick their brains and figure out what makes them tick, because they're interesting people. And it's a unique thought process. And I don't have the answer. I wanted to get your opinion on the logistics, if that's even possible. So I'm turning the mic off so I can hear you guys.
I think it's a really interesting idea that we can, obviously, if I could get Snoop Dogg's personal collector to display my gallery, I'll be over the moon, right? Yeah, but we got to work on it step by step. I guess identify collectors who'd be willing to share, and then we'll see how it goes. But thanks so much for the suggestion, Sarah.
That's a good idea, but I think Snoop Dogg will be the final goal that he honors us to exhibit his art, because maybe we should first ask some people which we can reach. For example, maybe we all ask together Seneca.
That's what I was going to say, Seneca. I was going to say Seneca. I was like, I want to hear what he has to say. I love him. So yeah, that's what I would do. But I use that as an example. I'm just saying, you know, you pick random. I would do the same for Reese Witherspoon. I want to know what she has or what Sia has. I mean, but I love Zeneca's mind and how he does that. I would totally ask him.
It's hard to ask Zeneca. I've tried to invite him to the gallery opening, but he has just all his DMs closed, so you can't get in contact to him on Discord and also not on Twitter, even if he's following you. And he's usually saying in his podcast that he's getting hundreds of DMs per day and he's not able to read them. So yeah, it's hard to get attention. Coming back to the main problem, right?
Exactly. Yeah, but it's a great suggestion to team up with people that have collections and show them in the collab gallery. So yeah, let's think more about this. And I think also we're approaching to round off the space. It's been so great talking to all of you, and there is more coming for this gallery. So we have more announcements when it comes to that later, so not today. And I leave that up to Kasper to organize. But yeah, just want to say a big thank you for this great Sunday conversation.
Thanks so much, guys, for joining. Really appreciate it.
This was really cozy, and I think we shouldn't stress it too much, right? I also agree that we should round it up. We planned for 1 hour. We are already talking for 1.5, which is great because I enjoyed the conversation, but I think everybody should have his Sunday.
Yes.
His or her. True. Sorry, I'm not assuming gender.
Of course, and yes, with the hour that was taken from parts of the audience as well, that's good to round it off here. But yeah, thanks everyone, and be on the lookout for more spaces like this. We will for sure do that.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy your Sunday.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks,
guys.
Thank
you very much for being here.
Bye.
Bye.